Good morning, good morning, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to wherever you are in the world. I just want to say good day to you. I am Catherine Eileen, your host of Relationship Rules, or Rules Our Way, the podcast, and thank you for joining this morning. Listen, y'all, I had a horrible day yesterday. So I had a horrible and a blessed day all at the same time, right? Ooh, excuse me, can that even be a thing? So it's a thing, I'm making it a thing, because I had a horrible day. But because I'm so blessed and so thankful, it was still a good day, even though it was a horrible day. Y'all catch that later, and some of y'all know what I mean. So based on yesterday, on the things that have happened and went forth, I just wanted to talk about today, who is your village? Who is your village? Take a moment, think about that, right? And, you know, people say all the time, you know, family don't have to be blood. It's, you know, you can basically make your family, regardless whether they by blood, whether it's just, you know, by support, friendships, whatever. Who is your village, right? So I don't know about y'all, but when I was raised, when I was a child, and I think the old saying, which nobody uses the term really anymore because it doesn't exist, right? So when I was a kid, I'm not going to tell y'all when I was born because then y'all just be all up in my business. But when I was a kid, we would always coin the phrase, or the phrase was coined, you know, the village raised me. We have a village. And so I had my grandmother's house and I had my house. I had a village in each neighborhood. My grandma's house, like, I don't know, like, y'all, my grandfather was not part of the Black Panther movement. He was not part of the civil rights movement. Well, I don't know what he did, but as far as I know, officially he was not. But when I tell y'all, let me tell y'all something about his village, right? He didn't even live in a bad area, but it was a couple of bad seeds in the area. So my grandfather lived on one side of the street. His brother, my Uncle Johnny, lived like diagonally across the street in the house. And of course, you know, they had neighborhood friends and stuff or whatever, because the people that migrated from the South, you know, they, you know, knew each other, whatever. So it was my grandfather, my great uncle. Yeah, my grandfather, my great uncle, which was his brother. And then a couple of guys in the neighborhood. And then, of course, the bad seeds. My grandfather and his brother, y'all, would walk up and down the street after they got off work. They were hardworking men. They would walk up and down the street, you know, sometimes during the day and nighttime, you know, whatever, with shotguns, mind you, to make sure that the bad seeds didn't corrupt the majority of the neighborhood. But, you know, they didn't really mess with them. And of course, they didn't mess with my grandfather and my uncle. But they protected the neighborhood, right? So that's literal. It was a village, literally. But also literally, because everybody in the neighborhood knew everybody, everybody looked out for everybody. If I went to, I don't know, let's say down to the Red Store or something, you know, if somebody saw some strange person in the neighborhood, it was like everybody knew everybody. And they'd be like, yeah, y'all better leave that girl alone, or Kathy, get up here, you know, or whatever. Now, don't get me wrong. They would correct you, too. Although I never got in trouble because I was a good kid. I didn't have to get in trouble by my village, right? Not this village anyway, but it was a connectiveness in the neighborhood. Everybody took care of everybody. Everybody looked out for everybody, whether you were blood or just old family friends, whatever it was. And it was generation after generation after generation. And that's what it was. Now, the house where my mom lived, that was a little bit different. It was still a village, right? But it was considered the hood, the neighborhood, whatever. There were the older people, or the middle-aged people, which was like my mom. And then there was an older lady that lived across the street. There was an older man that was around my parents' age that lived across the street. So the neighborhood was consumed with kind of middle-aged people sprinkled with a little elders, or with our elders. They were older at that time. So if my parents were in their, like, I don't know, 30s or 40s, the couple of the elders were probably in their like 50s, 60s at this point. Now, in this neighborhood, and then by the time I was a little bit older, so preteen, teen years, it was when gangs started to get heavy. Drug dealers, neighborhood drug dealers started to get heavy and grow and whatever. But the thing about this is the gangbangers, the gang members, because I don't even know, do we even use the term gangbangers anymore? The gang members slash drug dealers slash whatever the criminal element was in our neighborhood, they were part of the village, believe it or not. They protected the neighborhood. They would not, like, so when other people came in the neighborhood that was trying to get them, they made sure that they got them before they got. And then they also made sure, did y'all catch that? Okay, if y'all didn't, I'll go back to it. But anyway, they also made sure that nobody messed with the middle-aged people to the elderly people. Nobody messed with nobody's house that had kids. Nobody messed with the kids in the neighborhood. Nobody messed with the elders. Nobody. And so they basically governed our neighborhood, right? Back then, again, I'm not going to tell you my age, but back then, people still honored the street code. And y'all know what? That's good. That's good. We're going to talk about the street code next week. But people still honored the street code. So no matter what the gang members was doing, no matter what the drug dealers was doing, they protected our neighborhood as well as the grown people and the elders of the neighborhood. So, and I think I told y'all this story before, y'all, but let me tell y'all. My little hot in the ass, pot in the pants ass, at some point, so, and I have to tell y'all this whole story a different day, and it's going to be a topic one day, I'm sure, about parenting, but, and the relationship between parents and kids. But my parents at the time were super strict, y'all. They were so strict. I could not ride the bus to school. I had to be driven and picked up every day. They were so strict. I couldn't barely go outside. If I did go outside, I couldn't leave my yard. I was not allowed to go to school games or anything when I was in high school, which is really weird because in junior high, I was captain of the cheerleading team. Like, I was a cheerleader in junior high. But when I got to high school, I don't know what happened. I don't know if because we were in the area that we were in, my mother spazzed out. I don't know. I just know she was super strict. I couldn't do nothing. So what did I do? I found a friend whose parents were super strict as well. I found another friend who her parents wasn't strict. She could basically do whatever she wanted to do. So while she could get out or leave the house at 6 o'clock in the evening, I had to sneak out, y'all. I was sneaking out the house. Y'all, let me tell y'all something. One of my little nosy neighbors, one of my parents' friends, actually the older guy, the middle-aged guy that lived across the street, would sit on his porch in the dead of night. And it would be so dark, he wouldn't turn porch lights on. So you wouldn't even know he was sitting on the porch. It'd be like 9, 10, 11 o'clock. Sir, shouldn't you be in the house taking a nap, going in the bed? Like, shouldn't you be asleep? Why are you up? You old. Go to bed. So you couldn't see, right? And the way our house sat across the street, so my house sat on two lots. Y'all know what that mean? Actually sat on two and a half, but y'all know what that mean? So basically my house was here and then it was like, so I had, it's so weird. Okay, my house was here and I had a yard, right? And then it was a walkway from the sidewalk to my front door. And then it was another big, cold, grassy area. And then it was the alley. So that whole grassy area was considered a lot. And then we had another lot. It's weird. But so basically, when my grandfather bought this house for us, because yes, back then, this is what parents did. So my grandfather bought me and my mom a house. And so we had two lots. So the way the gentleman across the house said, his house sat on the alley, which was directly in front of our lot, our part of our big yard, but it was the second lot. And the way of the house sat, my bedroom window faced this extra lot slash alley. So I told you, now, did y'all catch it, right? I was sneaking out of the house. So I would sneak out of my bedroom window. So if his name was Joe, y'all, Mr. Joe. So if Mr. Joe was sitting on his porch, he could see me come out my window. I couldn't see him because it was the freaking pitch black and he didn't have no porch lights on. And I don't know why he was outside, because he should have been in the bed because he was old. But anyway, so Mr. Joe would sit on the porch. Mr. Joe would see me sneak out of my window. Some nights he'd see me sneak back in, you know, whatever, whatever, whatever. So this one particular day, or night, you know, I left out of my house through my window. Mr. Joe was on the porch. And it turned out that was a bad night, y'all. That was a bad night. I'll get into some more of what happened that night a little bit later. But let's just say it was a bad night. My uncle, which if anybody's follows my personal page on social media, you saw yesterday when I made reference to the village, I said my Uncle Daddy. Now, don't get y'all panties out of bunch. I know what some of y'all are thinking. No, he's not the uncle that my mother invited to the house and was like, hey, this your uncle, and it was really a daddy. No, it was no incest crazy. Like, I know what y'all thinking. But my term, my Uncle Daddy, is because y'all, oh my God, I feel like all these stories are coming into one. But okay, let me reference this. I have a biological dad who was in my life heavy, right? I love my biological dad. I talk about him often. God bless his soul. He is deceased. He died in 2000, and we're in 2023. So he died 23 years ago. I think I was 25, right? But my dad was a huge staple in my life. My dad raised me. I'm a daddy's girl, front, backwards, side to side. Like, you couldn't tell me nothing about my daddy, and you couldn't tell my daddy nothing about me. I was a daddy's girl. So I want y'all to know that. Just remember that, right? Then my mom got married. My mom got remarried after her and my dad got a divorce or whatever. And when she got remarried, I was like 8 or 9. So I have a great stepdad. The only time you would hear me say my stepdad is in a situation like this, when I'm trying to get y'all the visual and I'm explaining this to you. He's my dad. Right? Now, here's the caveat to this. I never called him dad or daddy. I still always called him by his name because I honored my father. But he is a great dad to me. But when I introduce him to people, or people will come to my house, I would be like, you know, this is my mom, yada yada, this is my dad, Frank, whatever. So he's my dad. He was always a great dad. He's still a great dad. He's alive now. He's a great dad. He's a great grandfather to my children. And he is my sister's biological dad. Great man. So I'll honor to Frank this morning, to my daddy, Frank. Now, my Uncle Daddy. Y'all ready? My Uncle Daddy. My Uncle Daddy is my maternal uncle. He's my biological uncle. He is my mother's brother. He and my mother were thick as thieves. My grandparents had 6 kids. My mother's parents had 6 kids. And ironically, it was an oldest boy, oldest girl, middle boy, middle girl, young baby boy, baby girl. This Uncle Daddy that I'm talking about is the, my mother is only like a year or 2 years older than him. So they're the middle two. Thick as thieves, y'all. Thick as thieves. These were the two that was in the streets doing all kinds of stuff, right? The older two, well, we'll talk about that another day, the family tree and the makeup. Anyway, my Uncle Daddy is my maternal uncle, is my mother's brother. And he's my Uncle Daddy because he, as close as he and my mother was, he always, even though my biological father was there, even though I got a great bonus dad with Frank, he was always like an additional dad to me. He was more than my uncle. There's something else you may not know I didn't mention. My father lived in Europe for 25 years. My daddy, Frank, lived in our house like we lived together. But there were still some things that only my uncle could do. And then aside from that, my uncle used to always get on me and talk to me like he was my daddy. So he always became my Uncle Daddy. And that's how I introduced him. I mostly introduced him to everybody as my Uncle Daddy, especially when my biological father passed away. But here's the thing, right? We're talking about villages. This particular night, I snuck out my window. Mr. Joe sitting on the porch in pitch black. This is all going to come together in a minute, y'all. My Uncle Daddy, I don't know where he was, what he was doing. I don't know. Let's just say I got in a little bit of trouble this night that I snuck out, right? Just so happens, Mr. Joe was on the porch in the pitch black. Nobody saw him. My parents realized I was gone. You know, they're panicking, you know, spazzing out or whatever. Mr. Joe, here come Mr. Joe. Oh, I saw Kathy. She left at X amount of time, and this is who she was with. Mr. Joe told my parents when I left, when I left and who I was with. But this is how I also found out. Every time that I would leave the house, Mr. Joe would be on the porch, and he would take note of when I left, the time I came back, and who I was with. So I don't think he really told on me for the most part when he was whatever, but he was keeping track. But this particular day, he relayed the information which was great because my mama called my uncle daddy and it was a whole situation. And when I tell you, my uncle daddy showed up, my parents showed up, my village showed up for me, y'all, in that moment, because it was about to be bad. Now, what I will tell y'all, I ain't even gonna tell y'all that part. I'll say that for later. But my point is, and so, okay, that brings us back to current times, right? So, yesterday, I was driving down the street. I heard a huge pop. I turned the corner. My car would not go. Something broke on my tire. I initially thought it was the tire rod or the axle. But I got down, looked, I couldn't see what was broke. Like, nothing broke off. Nothing was hanging like it was. My tire wasn't inverted. It wasn't, you know, bent. It wasn't broke off. So I'm like, well, what the hell, right? My car, it wouldn't go. So just so happens, this little side street I turned on, and I was on a busy main street. The side street that I turned on, right in front of me, it was like, oh, rack and axle. I'm like, are you serious? God, you got jokes? So I'm like, okay. So, well, first let me preface this. I called my person and I said, hey, are you still at home? Because this happened. I need you to come and get me. I need you to do something. So they were like, well, the people are here fixing the internet or something. As soon as they leave, I'll come. And I'm like, okay, well, it's no rush. I'm on a side street. I think I'm in a safe place and, you know, it's okay. Cool. So I get out my car. I walk to this rack and axle place, right? And I'm like, hey, here are some pictures of some metal shavings that came off my tire. I heard this pop, turned the corner, and my car stopped. It's literally right here. And from the my car to this rack and axle place, it took me, it was like a 2-minute walk. Probably not even 2 minutes. That's how close we were. So I'm like, okay. So I told the guy what it was. He's like, oh, yeah, that's probably this. It'd be like $400. I'm like, okay, I got it. Cool. So then I called the dealership because now y'all know my little bougie self. I'm like, I'm taking my car to the dealership. I'm doing everything right because I need warranties. I need express service. I need to know that this is going to be taken care of. And if something happened, it's going to be covered. So I called the dealership and they was like, well, yeah, it could be that or it could be your transmission. Now, the guy at the rack and axle place also said that part of the end of this control arm or axle or rod is in the transmission. So then my dealership says, well, it can be anywhere from our $149 diagnostics up to $5,000 or $6,000 if it's your transmission. I'm sitting in my car like, oh Lord, I ain't got no $5,000 or $6,000 just sitting around to fix no car that I'm still making payments on. So I'm like, okay. So I didn't panic, y'all. It was still a calm over me. I didn't panic. I said, okay. So my person comes. He looks at it. He gets down on the ground. He was like, yep, it's your ball joint. It's disconnected. It's your ball joint. I'm like, okay. So I go back to the rack and axle place and I'm like, okay. You know, he looked at it. It's the ball joint. That's still this control arm or whatever, you know, okay, let's move forward. Let's get this fixed. Okay. But you got to have it towed here. Okay. No problem. I can have it towed here. I got AAA, right? Then he says, well, we close at 5. It's 4:30. We close at 5, and then we lock the yard up. We lock the gate. So you can have it towed here. I said, well, if I have it towed, where do you want me to put it? Can I just park it in one of these spaces? He was like, yeah, that's fine, but then you're going to have to call another tow truck tomorrow because we have no way to move it from wherever you put, drop it on the ground to get it into the bay. And at this point, y'all, I'm irritated. I just stopped talking. I let my person talk because at this point, that sounds stupid. You got a whole car repair shop, and if somebody's car is immobile, even if you call the tow people, you tack it onto their bill. So basically, I would have had to have the car towed twice. I would have had to have the car towed there, but because they were closing in 30 minutes, the tow truck wouldn't even have been there until 30 minutes after they closed. So now, I would have had to have the car towed to their lot. And then I would have had to still deal with it this morning and have the car towed from their lot in the bay, which is like parking space bay, right? That's insane. That's crazy. So I'm like, okay. So I called the dealership back and I'm like, okay, this is what it is. And oh, when we told them it was a ball joint, they gave me another quote. It was like $690 or something. $700, I don't know. The dealership basically quoted me like $800. I'm like, well, that's only $100 more than what this place is charging. But by the time I have it towed twice, got to still deal with it. I may as well pay the extra money and I don't have to worry about it because the dealership, they figure out how to do it. So I get the car towed, AAA comes, they whatever, we tow it to the dealership, go to the dealership, get everything worked out. It just so happens, I was able to get the keys to our family's truck, and so I have that to drive. I didn't have to get a rental car, even though I had already quoted some rental cars because I needed to know what was going on, how much money I would need. My the dealership was like, oh, because he said, well, do y'all have a car she can drive or whatever? And he's like, oh yeah, we rent cars, you know, $35 a day, whatever. And I'm like, no, just give me the keys to the truck. Like, I'm not doing that. So I say all of that to say, and then that's a whole nother story for another day, y'all, too. I have to tell y'all that story. So me and my person are kind of going through some stuff right now. And so, but he still came through, right? He still came through. Y'all, I know that I have a little person. He was at school. But then he goes to aftercare, but he had to be picked up from aftercare. I'm sitting on the side of the road. The tow truck wouldn't be even to my location until 5:23. The dealership closed at 6. My baby had to be picked up no later than 6 from aftercare. It was just all this stuff going on at one time, right? So I called my sister and my aunt, and I'm like, listen, my car broke down. I'm on the side of the road. I need y'all to go get the baby. Both of them. Well, I texted my aunt first because she was closest and her house was closest. So I'm like, whatever happens, it'll be easier for me to get to my aunt's house than to my sister's house, who lives kind of far out. So I called my aunt. She didn't text me back quick enough. So then I called my sister. My sister was like, yep, I got you. I'm on my way. I said, okay. Then my aunt called me back and I'm like, well, let me call my sister and tell you go get him. I'll call my sister and tell her not to go get him because you're closer. And again, you know, it'll be easier for me to get to your house than to my sister's house. Needless to say, I say all that to say, my person who we're going through, whatever we're going through, came through. My sister and my aunt came through to get my baby, make sure he was taken care of. The dealership took care of me. Now, I referenced my uncle daddy in this whole scenario in the beginning to start about this village because my uncle and my grandfather, my mother's father, used to be a mechanic. So as I was sitting in the car, I was so, even in that moment, I was so thankful for to them because my uncle is now retired. My grandfather is deceased. My uncle, again, and my grandfather were certified mechanics. So if my uncle wasn't retired, one, I could have called my uncle to fix my car, and what the dealership is getting, he charged me $800. He would have did it probably for $60 or free. He would have did it for $60. I probably would have gave him $100, but he would have did it for $60, right? Plus the parts. My grandfather would have did it for free, and I'm thankful for both of them because they also taught me about cars and things like that. So I was able to kind of analyze the situation. And then when my person came, he was able to kind of analyze the situation and confirm what it was. And then, but just thankful for them, you know, period, just because, you know, that brought back all these memories. And then I thought about all these people are coming to help me that didn't have to. There's even some people from my office that, you know, reached out. Are you safe? Are you okay? Like, and would have came to my aid. And so my question to you guys again this morning is, who is your village? Like, I still have a village. It's not like it was back in the day, but I still have a village and I'm thankful for my village. And when I started this message today with who is your village, I also prefaced it with, it was a horrible day, but it was a good day. So now I'm going to wrap this up and tell y'all, it was a horrible day because all of these terrible things happened. It was still a good day because I woke up yesterday. I had breath in my body. I remain faithful. I'm going to remain faithful. In that moment, I still thank God for the people that was in my life that came through. I still thank God that I had some options. I still thank God that I was able to walk away and not be stressed out, not worrying about how I'm going to get to work today or how I'm going to get my baby to school or how I'm going to go to the grocery store or do anything else that I have to do in my day. I had options. I believe I have options because I remain faithful, right? So who is your village? Every village on this earth has a chief, right? every village has a chief, a ruler, an overseer, the head village man, whatever their title is. So I say to you today, the chief of my village is God. God is the chief of my village. And then he makes sure that all of these people are around me to cover me, to make sure that I'm okay, to make sure that my little person is okay. And I still have a village. Like, that's my village. Who is your village? And these people are not just there when something happens and I need help. They're there even on the good days too. They're there to celebrate with me, to cry with me, to help me, to hold me. All of these things. I have a village. Who's yours? I'm going to wrap this up, but I want you to think about that. And I want you, if you journal, great, journal. If you don't, but you write some stuff down, write some stuff down. But I want you to think about, who is your village? Who's the head of your village? Who is your village? And if you don't have a village, that's part of the problem that we have. I know in my city that I live in, I'm in Indianapolis, it's no secret. Our murder rates, our shootings are out of control. The situations with our youth are out of control. And I wholeheartedly believe that part of the reason is because the village has fell apart. We need to rebuild our communities. We need to rebuild our villages. We need to take hold of all this nonsense and foolery that's going on. And we're going to get there. We're going to do it because it's some great people doing some great things to restructure the village. But who is your village? And if you don't have a village, it's like I said, it's time to build a village. And we need to start being a village for these kids out here. And we need to start covering them. We need to get them back into the word. We need to get, we just need to rebuild the village, y'all. That's all I got. I ain't even got nothing else. So I'm going to leave y'all with this as I always do, right? One, thank you. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you are having a great day, great morning, great afternoon, whatever. If you're driving into work, driving home from work, on your lunch, whatever, do good things. Have a great day in that. Second, I always end every week by saying, do something nice for somebody this week. Do something kind for somebody this week. Y'all know it's not monetary when I say that. If you want to buy somebody's drink in front of you at Starbucks today, great. Actually, I'm putting it into the universe, and hopefully it comes true for me today. After the last couple of days I've had, when I stop at Starbucks this morning, I hope that somebody in front of me decides to pay for my drink this morning, because Lord knows I need all the coins I can get to pay for these car repairs. But if you pay for somebody's drink, you pay for somebody's groceries, you know, just be nice. It does not have to be monetary. If you don't have the money, that's fine. You also have other things. You have time, talent. You have the ability to speak positivity and to speak love to somebody, right? So even if it's saying hello, saying you look nice today, giving somebody a compliment, affirming somebody, giving them an affirmation, everything does not have to be monetary, right? Because sometimes you never know, we never know what a person is going through. We never know what they might be struggling with, and you just don't know. Your hello, your you look nice today, your I love your coat, I love your shirt, whatever. Oh my God, girl, your hair looks nice. Sir, you look handsome today. You know, anything, right? That compliment can change the trajectory of a person's life that day, and you don't even know it because we don't know what somebody is going through. So do something kind for somebody this week. And again, we're not doing this for clout. We're not doing this for anything other than the love of God and love of our people, and to be a positive light on here on this earth while we're here. So again, I just ask you to do it. Make somebody happy today. Make somebody's day. Be kind to somebody today, y'all. I wish you guys nothing but the best. And blessings on top of blessings on top of blessings. I hope that you can take away something from my message today. I don't know, but it just blessed me all over again. Sorry, y'all. If you hear that little shh, 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 I'm putting my little smell good on so I can go to the office. But if you just give somebody a hello, you look nice, or whatever the case may be, great, do that. I don't have anything else for y'all. Again, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow me on Facebook under Relationship Rules, Our Way Facebook page. You'll get all the latest information about Relationship Rules, Our Way. If you follow me on Instagram, it's under Cat Coaches. Please like, share, follow, I got some great stuff coming up. I want to make sure that I share that with you guys. I want to make sure that you know when the latest podcast drop. And we're in another country, y'all. I don't remember the country it is, but when I get my analytics and data, y'all, it's in a whole nother country. So just please continue to like and share the podcast. Continue listening. If you want to make any donations to myself personally or the podcast or the I Am Love Foundation, which is a nonprofit that is going to set out to help those less fortunate and those in need, you can send a Cash App to $CatCoaches. Is it Cat Coaches? I think. No. $CatMiles. I'm sorry. $CatMiles. Venmo is just Catherine I. Miles. CatherineIMiles. Or you can just send me a message. Or you know what? I need y'all to send me some messages anyway. So send me a message. Comment under the podcast. Comment under on Relationship Rules, Our Rules, Our Way. And just tell me who your village is. Start naming some people so that we can add these people to our continued prayer list. So that we can also be thankful for these people and give these people their flowers while they're living. And I think what I'm going to do is when you guys tell me who all your village is, I may just start picking out some kingdom workers, some village workers, and sending them some stuff because I do want to honor our village workers. But that's all I got for y'all. I love y'all. Stay blessed. Blessings on top of blessings on top of blessings. And I will see y'all next week. Bye-bye.